And I saw another sign in heaven. And, of course, what signs? Signs are for Jews. 1 Corinthians 1:22 says signs are for Jews. And so he said, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And so there are seven angels. So what has the verse told us so far? That angels are a sign, and signs are for the Jews. And we see there's seven here. There's seven last plagues. Now there was seven seals and seven trumps, and now the last of the seven plagues. So this has to be in the last part of the tribulation. And they're filled with the wrath of God. Now everything that's happened before that, all these other plagues and everything, that was the wrath of God, but they're not filled with the wrath of God. Simple fact of it is, when it's filled with the wrath of God, that means God's got all his wrath and all his fury on it. I mean, I can't imagine that. But I'm just thankful that I'm not going to be here to have to experience it. So I can experience the love of Christ and the love of God and the peace of God and the mercies of God. I don't have to experience the wrath of God. Okay? And so you think all these things that have happened so far was bad. Well, what he's saying is just wait. The same man that wrote about the love of God is now writing about how the wrath of God is filled up here. And so in verse 2, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. So it's a sea of glass. Now go back to chapter 4 of Revelation. Chapter 4. He says, now he sees this sea of glass. And chapter 4, and look at verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, okay, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. So here, this sea of glass, there is also a sea of glass, but this one is not mingled with fire, the one we just read in Revelation chapter 4. And, of course, what does fire represent? It represents the wrath of God. And you ever read in the Old Testament about how God's wrath was kindled, and it's like a fire, and it also says the fire of his wrath. It just says that sometimes. Of course, at the judgment seat, coming into the temple, you had your brazen altar that was that represented the wrath of God a lot of times. And it also says that our God is a consuming fire. So with all these things, we know what's coming down the pike. And so again, in verse 2, and I saw it as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his names, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. So these, we're looking at these. Now notice this. This is where they're standing, right in the midst of the sea of glass that is on fire. Now, who does that remind you of? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember? They were in the midst of a fire, that in a pit. And so, and they weren't touched with it. So you've got these. Remember, these are the ones that have overcome. They got the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number. Now think about what these people went through. And of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. So right in the middle of this thing, the sea of glass of fire, they're standing there. Okay. And they got the victory. Now, who are these folks? Well, they are the ones that was killed by the devil and his demons. But John said that they had gotten the victory over them. God doesn't say that they hadn't been defeated and got their head cut off. Okay? But when they happened, they got the victory over the beast. So these people are in heaven, and so Moses, now look at verse 3. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and now notice what's going on here. They're on this sea of glass, and they've got they overcome the beast, though they had their head cut off, that God said they still got the victory, okay, and of all they went through, and now they're singing a song. They're singing the song of Moses, the servant of God. Now, so Moses in Christ has a song, and they're singing it, right? Right. All these people are singing this thing here. So, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. So, see, this song is not only the song Moses sung, but also, and so you got them all singing this song here, the Lamb, which of course is Jesus Christ, and they're saying, "Great and marvelous are the works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." Now, look at chapter, look at chapter 14, and look at verse 12. "Here is the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandment of God, and the faith of Jesus Christ." Now notice, it's the commandment of God, which is Moses, and the faith of Jesus Christ, and there is the Lamb right there that we're talking about. Now what about this song of Moses and of the Lamb? Well, they're singing, there is a song recorded over in Exodus 15 that was sang over there, and they sung after the Lord had, you know, destroyed all the Pharaoh's armies. Miriam sung it, which Pharaoh is a type of the Antichrist. Now that's a song of Moses, but there's another song of Moses, and I don't the song that they're singing here in Revelation is, if you look in the commentaries, they all said, all your commentaries say this is the song that they're singing. No, I don't believe it is, because Moses sung another song, and look at Deuteronomy 31. Now they sang a song in Exodus when, you know, and they did, but that's not the song that's being sung here, I don't think. I can't find Deuteronomy. Oh, there it is. All right. Deuteronomy 31. Now notice here, these people have just, now here, in Revelation, they're saying the people have just come out of the tribulation and they've overcome the beast. And they're singing. We know, now in typology, you would think, well, when they sang that over in Exodus after crossing the Red Sea, they'd just come out of Egypt and they got the victory over Pharaoh. That's all true, but I still don't think it's the same song. We know that it is the last part of the tribulation, because the beast never shows up till then, and these are singing the song of Moses. Look at chapter 31, and look at verse 26. Take this, let's see. Oop, I'm in chapter, okay, no, that's right. Chapter 31, and look at verse 26. "Take this book of the law and put it in the sides of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death." Look at verse 28. "Gather unto me all the elders of the tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of the song until they were ended. Now, chapter 26, or chapter 32, and verse 1. Give ear, O you heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Now, so he's singing here, my doctrine will drop as rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herbs, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe you greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Now, so I think that this is the song that they're singing over in heaven in Revelation 15. Just about all the, all the commentaries say they believe it's Exodus 15, where they come out of Egypt and everything, because they don't believe that there are, they're under the system of the laws of the tribulation, okay? But they are, and so they're always trying to make the song of Exodus 15 and Revelation 14. Here's what I'm getting at. They don't understand that in the tribulation, the laws that God governs things are different than they are now. In other words, most Baptists believe that they got saved in the Old Testament the way they do now. In tribulation, everybody gets saved the same. Well, they don't, okay? And so that's why this thing doesn't work out for that being in Exodus 15. Now, think about this. These people have just been starved and slain by the beast, and now they're singing, okay? And what are they singing? Well, in verse 4, he in Deuteronomy 13, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all the ways are judgment, all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. He is the rock, his work is perfect. They have no complaints about God. God does everything right and true in their eyes. They are justifying God for what they've just went through. Now think about that. They're praising God and thanking God for what they went through in the tribulation. Now verse 5. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Their spot, which is, well, what was that? It's the mark of the Antichrist. And the spot of his children is Revelation, remember the 144,000? They first had their mark, the mark of God. And then the Antichrist imitates it with his spot. And so here in verse 6, do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? And so you remember that the everlasting gospel was that they preached back, and we looked at Revelation 14, verse 6 and 7. The everlasting gospel, they had to fear God, give glory to him, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea. Well, here it is. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O ye foolish people and unwise? Is not he the Father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Yeah, he has. So, verse 7, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee thy elders, and they will ask thy elders, they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in his desert land, and in the waste following howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them upon her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. So where did this happen? Remember at Selah-Petra. What? In the early part of the tribulation. Verse 13, he made him ride on high places of the earth. This is not talking, now think about this. This is not talking about when they came out of Egypt to cross the Red Sea. This is talking about when the Antichrist started killing all the Jews in the middle of the tribulation in Israel, and they start fleeing and they go down to Selah-Petra. And the Lord supernaturally takes them down there. Okay? So he made them ride on the high place of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the field, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flint rock. And so, the sucking honey out of the rock, remember how God supernaturally feeds the Jews during the tribulation when they're down in Selah-Petra? What does he do? He wounds one of the heads of Satan, and that falls down to him for to eat. And so that's, now look at verse 14. Butter and kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the bread of Bashan, and goats with the fat of the kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grapes. So again, so during the tribulation, God is feeding his people by honey and oil coming out of rocks. And they're getting manna from heaven. You say, do I believe that? Yeah, because that's what he said. In Selah-Petra, when they're down there, when they're driven down there because the Antichrist is killing them and drinking their blood and everything, there's going to be, not only does he feed them supernaturally with manna like he did back in the Old Testament, but this time he's going to wound one of the heads of Satan, remember that, and it's going to fall down as meat for them, and his people will eat that, plus there'll be honey coming out of the rocks. Now, well, will that happen? Evidently, all the bees will come down there and make their nest in the rocks down there, and so that's what's going to happen. And so we know we're getting at the end of the tribulation here that's going on. And so again, verse 14, he said, butter and kine of milk of sheep, with fats of lambs and rams of the herd of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun waxed fat. Now, what's another name for Jeshurun? It's Israel, okay? It's Israel. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. So again, this is what is going on here. Verse 16, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger. There is the Antichrist setting up an image of the ten kings. Now look at verse 16. They provoked him to anger. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. Now, how did they do that? Again, you remember the Antichrist comes into the temple in Jerusalem, sets up on the temple, and he sets all these strange gods up in the temple, and this is the Antichrist doing this. And he sets up the what they will actually be is like humanoids. It's talking about the ten kings, the ten heads that he's going to set up as powers. And so that's exactly what's going on here in Deuteronomy. He's telling about that. And they'll be a humanoid type being. Verse 17, they sacrifice unto devils, not to God, to gods. Now who's these gods? It's these ten kings that's going to rise up, and they'll be a humanoid type people. They sacrifice unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not. Now, who's done this? Israel is. Okay? This is the final blow that brings in the Battle of Armageddon. This is, remember when we read this, who are we talking about? Signs, it's for the Jews. The Jews are doing this during the last part of the tribulation. They're sacrificing the devils. Of course, the Antichrist is sitting on the throne. Not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods. See, these are the ones that the Antichrist sets up. The ten heads, humanoid type. They have great power. That came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. And so, why didn't they fear them? Because they weren't there before. They never knew about them. This is the offspring of where? Genesis chapter 6. Okay, these humanoids, and they're going to come back, and God's going to, and they're going to be giants. They're going to be superpowered, half human beings, half angelic beings, and they're just going to do great signs and wonders. And the Jews and the everybody will be twinkle dusted, and they'll serve them. Why? They're just new. They're new, but yet they're not new. They're new because they haven't seen them before, but they've been around for thousands of years, okay? And so they're gonna just get twinkle dusted with them. Verse 18, of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Well, there's your evolution. I came from a rock, okay? So, verse 19. And when the Lord, now remember this, is, Moses is singing this at the end of Deuteronomy. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. Verse 20, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no wrath. Or no faith, I'm sorry. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation, which is, now notice it, which is not God. He sits in the temple, showing himself that he is God, okay? Now, in verse 21, he says, they have moved me to jealousy. You remember that that's what salvation was brought to Genesis in the first place. Verse 22, for a fire is kindled in my anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. What's God? What is God going to consume the earth with this time? Fire. And it's setting right at the base of the mountains, which is hell. Okay? And you know, you might say that the world's sitting on a time bomb, because it is. Okay? So remember, now this is a song that Moses is singing about Israel and what they will, it's prophecy. Verse 23, I will heap mischief upon them. I will spend my arrows upon them. What is God's arrows? It's lightning, probably. Verse 24, they shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat and with bitter destruction. Now notice that heat. Remember, the sun will be seven times hotter during the tribulation. We know that because of back over in Daniel with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So, and it says bitter destruction. That's like wormwood in Revelation chapter 8. And so he says, I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poison of serpents of the dust. Verse 25, the sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young men and the virgins, the suckling also with the man of gray hair. And in verse 26, I said, I would scatter them into the corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men, were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, O hand, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all of this. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that we were wise, that they might understand this, that they would consider their latter end. See, so this is a song that they're singing about over in Revelation chapter 15. And that whole, you can go on through there, we won't go through it, but that's pretty well that whole song. So go back to Revelation chapter 15, and notice that he says there in he says verse 3, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. And so anyway, that's all I got. Yeah.
Psalm 90.
Yeah.
Is a prayer of Moses, but almost says exactly the same thing.
It's a, but I think that one from Psalms is kind of taken off of this one here.
It's a lot about God's wrath and his fire.
Yeah.
It talks about.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of tribulation stuff in that too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But and so anyway, that's kind of it. So any other questions, comments about it? It's a so they you're looking at a time here that's just coming at the end of the tribulation, and basically it's the Battle of Armageddon, which when God pours out his full wrath upon the world. Physically. So, all right. Anything else? Okay. All right. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you.